Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent On, Accent On London edition, only on LA Talk Radio. So everybody who loves us can listen to our show every Monday from 6 till 7 Pacific Time, Channel 1, again, 6 till 7 Pacific Time. So I'm in London. Our wonderful and very, very smart guest is in Los Angeles, and I'm hoping a lot of people recognized her face, her voice, because she is our legal advisor from almost, I think, 2 years. Natalia Matushik was having her own segment, legal segment, which she was giving us so many great legal advices. So I miss her a lot. And I know, especially in this crazy time of COVID-19, a lot of people probably question what to do if they need a lawyer, what to do if they have a problem. Does everybody is not anymore represented? Or, you know, are we really sitting home doing nothing? But not when it comes to a legal system works. And of course, our legal advisor, Natalia Matushik, is here with us. She will calm us down and she will tell us that really people supposed to pick up the phone and contact her if they have any questions or legal issues. Okay. Hi, Natalia.
Hi, Ilona. Nice to be here.
Oh, I think I saw you like 8 months ago in Los Angeles, last time we had a show, you know, but now far away, but so close, thanks to Zoom. How are you?
Well, I'm well. I'm hoping this pandemic and the impact it had, it's had on the court system is almost over, because it's been strange, you know, being a lawyer in the last few months, considering that basically most of the courts have closed and the implications it's had on people's legal rights. We'll discuss in detail later on in the show.
Absolutely. You were so nice to me and you prepared a lot of questions, because to get your answers, I need to form the questions. They are really, really smart. So I'm thankful that you prepared the questions for us, and maybe we'll not be able in next 50 minutes to get all the answers. And I know you will be back, because I just feel like we need to learn so much when it comes to how legal system works, and how a person like you, who can help represent us when we have a trouble, can really make all this experience not the most horrible things in life. You really can help a lot of people. And you are my personal lawyer, so I'm very, very thankful for your advices always. And I'm saying, people, if you need help, you need to call to Natalia Matushik. But I would like to a little bit introduce you one more time. I know people probably remember you. They can always go to archives and search for our interviews, and we have probably maybe 10 of them already.
I'm a former deputy attorney general and a former deputy district attorney. And yes, and I have been in private practice now for quite some time. And my specialty is professional license defense. However, it very often overlaps with criminal defense, which I will explain later. And I do handle a civil litigation cases as well.
I think your website is very informative. I think people need to know the address of your website. Can you give us how we can find you right now?
So it's licenseadvocate.com.
Okay, so www.licenseadvocate.com.
I
really have everything there to learn about you, to learn about your past, learn what you are doing right now. And you are doing so, so much. I still would love people to know how well educated you are. So if you can give us a little bit your journey from moment when you came to America, and obviously you were starting your education, and how does this happen? Like you said, you are working on so many great, big, important positions here in LA.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I moved here and I went to college. I was 19 when I moved to the United States. I went to UCLA and I went to a graduate school at the UCLA School of Public Policy, Social Research and Urban Planning, which is now the Laskin School of Public Policy. It's a great school. I have nothing but fond memories of that graduate school. I went to USD Law School in San Diego and was in private practice for a brief period of time, and then spent almost 9 years at the Riverside District Attorney's Office prosecuting criminal cases. Obviously, half of the time I spent in the domestic violence unit. I was in private practice again, and then worked for the Department of Justice in the position of a deputy attorney general, but specifically in the licensing section, prosecuting professional licenses on behalf of various agencies, board and bureaus, bureaus which issue people in the state of California at the state level, not the federal level, their professional licenses. And it's interesting how several of these legal fields overlap. Criminal defense very often overlaps if the agency tries to revoke someone's professional license, because I would say roughly 50% of the time what triggers an administrative disciplinary action is somebody either getting arrested and or definitely when they're convicted of a crime. That that again depends on the type of the crime and the type of the agency, the type of license. So that's why, you know, I should probably preface this entire interview with you know, with the statement that this should not be construed as legal advice to anyone, because every case is different and it depends on individual circumstances. If people try to reach me, I would love to give them a free consultation. I can provide them contact information later in the show. But I can give you an overall assessment, but I cannot give anybody any legal advice per se. I can discuss my past cases, which, and then I can you know, give specific examples of how this works, but.
I think that's fine with us, obviously. Like you said, everybody has a different issue, so you cannot right now to teach us everything and give us a perfect resolution to our problem. But I know, and I'm so proud of you, you won some big case not long ago. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So the case was literally, I finished it right before the lockdown. I mean, literally mid-March, which was interesting. The timing was quite interesting. It was a case against the Board of Registered Nursing, which is one of the most powerful boards. And by the way, when I say I won, which yes, I did, the way it works, a judge in the administrative hearing issues a proposed decision. But this specific judge, I mean, the decision, basically I won on every single cause of discipline, doesn't necessarily mean that the board is going to adopt the decision. However, yes, it was a great win for me. It was a very long investigation. It took about 7 years. The Board of Registered Nursing tried to revoke this nurse's license. And I got it literally a few weeks before the hearing itself. So I literally worked around the clock on this case, and I prevailed. So this was a big accomplishment for me.
Congratulations for you and for your client. 7 years. Oh my gosh. So I hope she's fine or he's fine. and her life can be right now
put back there, because I mean obviously it had an emotional, I mean it had an emotional impact on her, having her life, having all these complaints made against her, which I thought were unfounded. You know, it's a long story, obviously a 7-year investigation. We don't have enough time during this show for me to give you all the details, but one interesting aspect in these administrative hearings, which people are really unaware of, and they really have to be made aware, that if a licensed professional faces a disciplinary action by the board or bureau, the agency, they actually bear the costs of both the investigation and then the litigation by the Attorney General's office. In this particular case, this woman, had she lost, would have had to pay the government $100,000 for basically them trying to revoke her license, which should have never happened to begin with. So once the judge issued the decision that there's no, I can read it to you. Like,
you need to feel that you can be protected by a good lawyer. And obviously, you turn 7 years of misery for this woman into now, hopefully, successful future for her. And hopefully, that would give her some
The order says the accusation, after this 70-page decision, the accusation against, I will not mention her name, is dismissed without imposition of discipline, so nothing. Complaint request prayer for cost recovery, those thousands of dollars, is denied. So, I mean, I could not have gotten a better result in that case.
Wow, that's a really beautiful. So, again, everybody who listens to our show, please contact Natalia Matusik. Can you give us one more time your website? Because that's the easiest way probably to get to you.
So it's licenseadvocate.com. And email address is natalia@licenseadvocate.com. My direct phone number is 858-868-1810. And I strongly recommend, if somebody cannot get a hold of me right away, they can just text me and I will respond as soon as I can.
Wonderful. And I always want people to know that maybe private people like me, or people who have maybe smaller cases, they also can contact you, because you also represent a family law. So I'm sure if somebody has a problem with alimony payments, a problem with issues in their own private life, you will for sure give them right advice, or just send them to people who they can help them. So I think we have Natalia here. We have Natalia Matusik for last 2 years, and I'm so happy she's back. Before I will start going to real questions that you prepared for us, and obviously you'll give us an answer, I would like to take a short break, music break, because people know we always put music with one song, Look At Me Now. I feel on Europa. Why not?
Cry, don't cry, goodbye, you never ever. the years will pass so fast. I never asked, I didn't see the signs. I always believed our love will never die. You started the war, I was the last to know. And time, this time will stop, 'cause you and I are covered in the dust of the hopes and dreams. I know we'll hurt to visit even once. So cry, don't cry.
With Natalia Matusik, our legal expert. So, first question, what does professional license defense mean?
So, if you are a licensed professional in the state of California, we'll go through the types of professional licenses I can defend. You are either being investigated by the Bureau, or the agency, the board, which issued you your license. You can be investigated by your employer if somebody filed a complaint against you in the course of your employment. You can apply for a license which is denied, in which case you have the right to an appeal, or in the most serious cases, an accusation is actually filed against you by the Attorney General's office, in which case you basically have to defend yourself if you don't want to have your license revoked, and again face all those costs associated with the investigation and litigation. So, that's the professional.
I think this part of the show is very, very important. People are listening to us, and they need to know you can represent so many different businesses. So, what professionals do you represent?
So not businesses per se. I mean, I could represent a business, but that's not my specialty. I represent licensed professionals such as, I'll go through the list.
Because people will find themselves in this list for sure.
Okay, so accountants, acupuncturists, architects, mechanics, smog technicians, psychologists, psychotherapists, psychiatrists, barbers, manicurists, estheticians, funeral directors, chiropractors, contractors, court reporters, dentists, dental hygienists, engineers, land surveyors, geologists, landscape architects, medical doctors, occupational therapists, optometrists. I actually just have a case with a doctor of osteopathic medicine. It's a different type of board than the medical board. Physical therapists, pharmacists, pharmacy technicians. It's a huge area. Physician assistants, podiatrists, teachers, real estate, appraisers, realtors, real estate brokers, mortgage brokers, and then nurses. So that's a huge, that's a big area in the licensed professional defense, because there are nurse practitioners, registered nurses, licensed vocational nurses. You've got certified nurse assistants, which are actually handled by the California Department of Health, totally different agency. Respiratory care technicians, security guards, private investigators, speech and hearing pathologists, exterminators, veterinarians, vocational nurses, that's under a different board, and psychiatric technicians. So as you can see, there's so many. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Most people either hold one of these licenses or definitely know somebody who holds a license in one of those fields.
So I hope people who are listening to us, if they have issues, if they have a problem, legal, they need legal advice and representation, they need to contact Natalia Matusik, our legal expert. So if you can give us slowly your phone number one more time.
858-868-1810.
Wonderful. So now we probably will go to another question. What if a licensed professional is under investigation by a professional licensing board?
Okay, so this is a very important subject. The reason being is that if you're a licensed professional and you get some correspondence from the board, the aid, which is called the agency, you don't necessarily think, oh, I got to contact an attorney right away. You're a professional. You are under obligation to cooperate with the investigation. So the natural thing to do is to respond to this board's inquiry. And this isn't like a criminal matter where this investigator, who's basically a law enforcement investigator, needs to give you your Miranda rights, has to tell you that, look, whatever you say can be used against you later, you know, when an accusation is filed. They don't have to do that. And yet everything that you do say can be used against you, and very often is. So, and if you hire an attorney, the statement coming from an attorney can never be used then as your own statement or any type of admission against your interest. So I would think if you are investigated by the board, it's imperative that you are represented by an attorney. Just even if you haven't done anything wrong, it creates a certain buffer between yourself and the board, which is investigating you and is basically trying to get you to yes. And sometimes, you know, you may be completely innocent, have not done anything wrong, some false complaint has been filed against you, and you make a statement thinking that it benefits you, and then later it can be completely twisted and turned around and can be detrimental to the ultimate outcome.
Wonderful. So probably you answer a little bit, but I would like to form the question one more time. What happens if a licensed professional is under an investigation by an employer for a conduct on the job and is concerned it will affect his or her professional license?
Same thing, really. A complaint, very often a complaint is filed against you by, let's say, a patient, which can be legitimate or not, and an employer is under an obligation to investigate it, obtain a statement from you, and very often the licensed professional goes into the manager's office, makes some sort of admissions that are later used against them, and had they had representation, this would not have turned out that way.
Pretty dangerous.
Anytime you're under investigation, either by the employer or by the actual agency, I strongly recommend that you are represented by an attorney.
Now we are going even to more scary arenas. What happens if a licensed professional has recently been arrested or convicted in criminal court, and what are the implications an arrest or a conviction may have on professional license? That can really get you into trouble.
Correct. And you know, this is the area where I'm very passionate about, because most people don't realize that a certain conviction or certain arrest, this is actually quite complicated. We probably won't have enough time for me to cover every single aspect of it. But if you're a licensed professional and you're arrested, again, it depends on the type of a license you have and the type of crime or arrest itself. You know, some of them have no implication on your license, but very often they do. And you know, there people unfortunately get representation, excuse me, after they've already been convicted, and very often it's too late. So, and the reason why is the criminal process starts much earlier than the administrative process. So, and I always give this example, that if a nurse gets a DUI, it's arrested for a DUI, she gets a criminal defense attorney. That attorney doesn't have any legal obligation to advise her of the consequences this conviction will have on her license later on in time. And it's only after you get convicted that the board steps in and files an accusation against you. So I always think if you have a license and you get arrested before you get convicted of anything, or you plead guilty, or you end up, you know, proceeding and taking it to a jury trial, it's really important that you're aware of the consequences this conviction may have later on you, which in most cases I can pretty much tell. Okay, so you're a barber and you, you know, got, you know, arrested for a DUI. Most likely the board will never, you know, do anything after you've been convicted, and I can still help you try to fight the DUI, you know, case. But if it's a nurse or some, if it's a dentist, a nurse, a doctor, all kinds of rules apply as to which arrest and which conviction would trigger disciplinary action. In very few cases, I actually have a case tomorrow, believe it or not, the courts are opening tomorrow, and I have to be in court at 7:30 in the morning, first day. And it's a doctor who got arrested for weapons charges and he was under the influence, allegedly under the influence of controlled substance. Very rarely, if the charges are serious and it's the type of a profession that the board has concerns, that you know the conduct is so serious that they actually have to step in before the conviction has taken place, they send the attorney general's office, and they file what's called a PC-23 motion, asking the criminal judge to restrict this person's license while the criminal case is pending. That's very, very rare. Most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, the attorney general's office only steps in after you've already been convicted. And at that point, very often, it's too late. You've already either pled guilty or you've been convicted without knowing that this could have been handled much better, or at least attempted.
I know this show is serious today. We are talking serious stuff. Situation like that in life can break our whole life, whole dreams, all we were working on, and stop the system from maybe accusing us of something that we didn't do, or we made mistake by allowing not have be represented by Natalia Matusik. We got ourselves into trouble thinking, oh, if I only say this or that, all will be okay. No, things are in motion. And then to try to unwind this and start clean up, the mess that we create is for the lawyer probably a nightmare. So I think it's so important that people understand money's of course tight for everybody, but if you have situation like that can affect your work, your job, your future, you just don't play the game. You just pick up the phone and talk to the lawyer. I know not everybody knows you, and there's a lot of wonderful lawyers we can reach, but we sometimes don't know even who to reach out to. So we have you on our show for the last 2 years. You have your segments, sometimes for three years.
2017.
Oh my gosh. So you know what? Life goes so fast, but I think that so complicated information is necessary. And you are giving this information to us for free. Somebody said, no, you are not giving advice. No, you are giving advice on all of these questions right now. If we listen carefully, or we can go to archives on LA Talk Radio to Accent On, we can listen or download the show over and over, and people can really, really slowly listen to you again, because this is complicated. You know, I was preparing myself for this interview. You were giving me wonderful answers for this question, and sometimes I'm like, let her talk and describe. It's so complicated. It's so complicated. So another question would be, what is an accusation filed by the Attorney General's office asking for a license revocation? So they can take away, or how does this work?
So the accusation is the most serious disciplinary action a licensed professional faces. The investigation has already been completed by the board or the bureau, or this person was convicted of a crime and an accusation is filed against the licensed professional by the Attorney General's office. And I think I explained it to you on another show. It's an interesting area and how it's structured, because those state agencies the Attorney General's office, the Department of Justice, handles all the litigation on behalf of these agencies, and those agencies are their clients. So it's a civil law, it's civil administrative law. So the Board of Registered Nursing, once they complete an investigation and they recommend this person's license be revoked, it's actually the Attorney General's office which handles the litigation itself. So the board handles the investigation, the Attorney General's office handles the litigation or the prosecuting the license itself. And then it's actually handled at the Office of Administrative Hearings, which is, again, a completely different court than a civil court, family court, or criminal court.
Okay, but now we need your representation. Somebody needs to act between all of that.
If you have an accusation file, look, you can always represent yourself. I highly recommend you do that. I mean, nobody prevents you from representing yourself. It's perfectly legal. But if you want to be represented competently, you need somebody who knows the law and who can navigate the system. And actually, you know, the Office of Administrative Hearing, although you don't have a right to a jury trial, it's a fairly formal process. And, you know, it's civil administrative law. There are all kinds of requirements as to what you need to prepare, and you need to cross-examine witnesses. You need to have four different binders that have to be bait stamped. One for the witness, one for the judge, and for each side. So I don't see how somebody without legal knowledge and trial experience could actually do that.
Wow. You know, then now people say, okay, you are describing the process. It's just petrifying even to think how deep the process is and how lengthy. Sometimes takes years, like you mentioned, 7 years for the first, you know, so we really don't want to get ourselves into this situation. So in the beginning, when you have somebody to represent you, probably will cut the time in half and for sure will know where to direct the next step for right. the client. So people say, oh boy, now I'm in trouble. Seems so complicated, could be a long time before resolution. So who is responsible for covering the cost of a license revocation legal proceeding?
Again, it's a huge factor in making a decision because on one hand, of course, legal representation isn't free. You have to pay the attorney who's representing you. But if the attorney either negotiates these costs or actually gets a proposed decision and you don't have to pay these costs, that covers the cost of litigation in of itself. Because yes, the respondent, a licensed professional, and I don't know, people forget about it, but when they get their license, they were very well informed that if there's ever a complaint made against them in an investigation or any type of disciplinary action, they have to cover the cost of both investigation and litigation.
That's really scary, yeah, but that's like...
No, it doesn't seem fair in my opinion, but that's the law, so I mean, you can't really change that.
You cannot change it. So now, what are common reasons why the board tries to revoke your license? So what are the right. trouble that we can get to that then can cause to revoke our license?
A criminal conviction and sometimes just the criminal arrest, because the burden of proof is so much lower in the civil court that even sometimes if you have not been convicted of a crime, so you know the burden of proof to obtain a criminal conviction is beyond a reasonable doubt versus in a civil case, depending, it's either by preponderance of evidence, which is much lower, or by clear and convincing evidence. And sometimes you may be actually acquitted in the criminal court, and yet the board can still proceed with trying to revoke your license based on a police report and the arrest itself. But definitely criminal conviction, again, depending on what kind of license and what kind of crime. Then very often it's some sort of unprofessional conduct while you are employed. A very common misconduct is for nurses to be diverting drugs. So basically, you know, the very often drug diversion, meaning a nurse, instead of disposing of a controlled substance, takes it and uses it for herself or himself. So that's just, I'm just trying to give you a concrete example. But any type of fraud, any type of misleading statements depends on the license itself. But some sort of dishonest conduct, misappropriating funds, drugs, if they find that you have a substance abuse problem, that's a very common cause for the board to start disciplinary action against you. Obviously, we don't want doctors to be rendering medical help while they're under the influence of controlled substance or a nurse who, you know, has very serious responsibilities taking care of patients and them being under the influence of controlled substance. So these are fairly common grounds for disciplinary actions.
Okay. Then next question, what is a statement of issues and what rights do you have if the board denied your professional license application?
Okay. Very often, someone applies for a license. I have this client who's a broker, Department of Real Estate. He applies for a license and then they deny his license. So at this point, your only recourse actually, there's no negotiating at this point. If your application is denied, you do have a right to appeal. And it's saying it's an administrative hearing in front of an administrative law judge, and there's no negotiating with the bureau or the Department of health. Hey, can you please, can we work things out? At that point, basically, you have to take it to a hearing, in which case, again, I recommend you hire an attorney if you go that route. You can not proceed with the appeal and basically agree with the board's decision. Okay, well, you denied my license. Okay, fine. I will reapply. I don't know, 2 years from now, depending on what the reason for the denial is. But in most cases, you have a right to appeal. So the statement of issues is something that the agency files when they deny your license, and then stating the reasons for the denial. And then, of course, you have the right to appeal. And you know, one thing I want to mention, I probably should have done that before. Anytime you get served with the accusation or the statement of issues, you have a very short period of time to respond to it. Oh, it's okay. Usually 15 days. So once you are served with it, at the very least, respond to it, by even representing yourself, so that you don't, you do it in a timely manner. So yes, if you're served with an accusation, you literally have a couple of weeks to hire an attorney, and that attorney is contacting the board that they are in fact representing.
Scary, but great answer for this question. So like you said, if we are into trouble, you got the letter, you have sometimes 2 weeks, and you better do it because you will get in much bigger trouble. So what should you do? Which I think we can tie in answer that you gave us to this question. What should you do if you received any correspondence from the board concerning your license status, informing there was a complaint filed against you, advising you that you are under an investigation and asking you to respond and fully cooperate with investigation? So we're supposed to start almost show with this question because, oh, now I'm in trouble.
I touched on it, I think, before, but again, as a licensed professional, you are required legally to cooperate with any type of investigation, questions. Of course, there is some gray area, and actually in the case against the registered, the Board of Registered Nursing, I'll explain in a few moments how that became an issue. But basically, you do have to cooperate with them. And if you fail to cooperate with them, that in of itself can be the basis of the agency filing an accusation against you. You can literally lose your license because you failed to cooperate. So, you know, people sometimes assume, well, I'm not going to answer any questions. No, you actually...
You don't want to. You admit that something you don't want to deal with. So maybe you're guilty. So.
You're not that... This isn't the same scenario as if you are under arrest and a police officer questions you. First of all, under many circumstances, they should give you your Miranda rights. Sometimes they don't. But you don't have to answer any questions of any police officer. You have the Fifth Amendment right, the Sixth Amendment right. You don't have to talk to the cops at all. And nothing, it can never be used against you. Your failure to respond to questions, obviously your decision not to testify at trial, that goes without saying. But if you are a licensed professional and the board wants to inquire as to a certain complaint or misconduct, you are under obligation to cooperate with them. Wow. There's a specific business profession code that, you know, basically states you have to do that. But sometimes, you know, there's a gray area. That nurse that I represented, she actually refused to answer certain questions. And she had been under investigation for so many years. She did have a prior to hiring me. And I thought, I was concerned about that one cause for discipline, she kind of did fail to cooperate with them. But my argument was, look, her cooperation was reasonable. Their investigation was excessive, unreasonable in scope, and she had representation, and that investigator violated all kinds of rules. So I got her off of that you know, calls for discipline as well. But for the most part, if you are a licensed professional, you do need to cooperate. And again, best if you have an attorney, so that the attorney ensures that the investigation in of itself is conducted in a proper format and following all the rules.
Amazing. It's very, very complicated. Very complicated. I'm so proud to know you. You are so smart. I know a lot of people who maybe are not interested in this topic. Hopefully, they listen with open mouth like me, because it's not often that we have a person like you to trying to describe so many issues in 150-minute show.
I think we covered most of the subjects. I thank you, Ilona, again, for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here, mostly because it's an area of the law that people are they're unaware of how it works. And I don't see how I could reach to the public other than through some means of, a radio show or, there's really no way for me to have ads about it on the internet to educate people as to how the process works.
I think we are very, very happy to have you. Today we were talking with Natalia Matusik. She's our legal expert. So Natalia, I'll talk to you next month. And for right now, thank you. Thank you so much. And give us one more time your website.
LicenseAdvocate.com, phone number 858-868-1810, and my email is natalia@licenseadvocate.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. All of this information we'll have also on Accent On, and of course show can be heard, listened over and over when you go to archives on LA Talk Radio, Accent On, scroll down, and we'll be having name Natalia Matusik, interview with Natalia Matusik. So please download or listen over and over, and you will understand the law in much, much better way. Thank you again for everything. Thank you. And talk to you next month. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.